Acts chapter 10. It's easy to forget where we came from and how wretched and how hopeless we were before the Lord Jesus Christ saved us and from our spiritual pit. And it's also easy to think that God saved us because we are special. Are you with me? Somehow we have that funny idea. We are special. That's why God saved us. And there is another silly idea that God needs us. He doesn't need us. At the same time, we could even have this outrageous notion that this group of people, God cannot save them. According to my Bible, according to your Bible that we read and believe, at the foot of the cross, it is a level ground. There is no wall separating one group to another. In other words, God has absolutely no racial, social, financial preferences for whom He wants to save. And guess what? He doesn't even ask our opinion or ask for our permission to save those whom He wants to save. In this chapter, Apostle Paul gets to have an all-out face-to-face meeting with a Gentile. See, he's been Jews, Orthodox Jews, all his life. And he's been programmed that do not associate with the Gentiles. They are unclean people. They are non-kosher people. No, no, no. And the way the Orthodox Jews thought, unkosher people, the non-kosher people, unclean people, these Gentiles, are a little bit better class than slaves. But they still call them dogs. Because in their mind, spiritually, they are unclean, common, non-kosher. But when Peter witnessed this, what the Holy Spirit did in these Gentiles' lives, all of a sudden he realized God does not treat these Gentiles any different than Jewish people whom he thought selected a group. After all, Jesus is the Lord of all, not just the Lord of the Jews. Amen? We'll stop here and pray. Father, we are not selected by you because we are good or we are special. There's only reason why you saved us, because we are wretched sinners. We realize that we cannot come to you unless through Jesus Christ. So you slip your wonderful, gracious hand in the ranks of humanity. You chose us. Without you, we are nothing. Away from you, we are nothing. Father, open our heart and you write your word in our heart now. Remind us, engrave in our heart that you are the Lord of all and you do not see from one person to another. You don't see any difference. You only see the equal sinners. Father, teach us that you are the Lord of all and nothing escapes from your sight. Father, anoint our heart that we may understand your truth. And we pray for President Obama. He may turn his heart to you and receive Jesus into his heart. And we are asking a protective hand upon our troops and law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 10. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all his household. and who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before the God. Now send a man to Joppa and send for the Simon, whose surname is Peter. In his lodging with Peter, Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And he will tell you what you must do. Verse 7, And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. This image is the aerial view of the Caesarea. Obviously, this is the west, and this heading to the north. Joppa is about 30 miles down that direction. Caesarea is known as the capital city of the Roman governors who governed the Judean area. Because this is Roman capital, they prepared all the amenity, including amphitheater. When you stand on this stage, without a microphone, without any amplification, you can say a word, a person way on the top can hear the word. Do you know why? Because this wave, the air coming from the sea, will carry your voice all the way to the top. Ingenious, isn't it? That's how they set up the entire city. You can find all this, by the way, all these things are marble. Beautifully done. This place, the Caesarea, is located about 30 miles north of Joppa, about 65 miles from the north, from Jerusalem northwest. Do not get confused with the Caesarea, with the Caesarea Philippi. Now you are all confused, right? Caesarea is right here, right at the seashore of the Mediterranean Sea. And Caesarea Philippi is way up there near the Mount Hermon. That's near the Mount Hermon. That's the place where we will study down in the book of Acts. Just put that thing in the back of your mind. Cornelius was the centurion that was the commander of the 100 Roman soldiers. Centurion, as you know, is 100. Though he was Roman, he deserted his pagan religion that was filled with a myth and empty ritual, religious ritual. He turned to Judaism in hope that he would find salvation. But he still realized that there is more to it. He was God-fearing, being obedient to God's law, and fasting and praying man, yet he was not saved. In many ways, Cornelius and the modern-day religious people, they have a similarity. And they both equally hoped in spite of their devotion to their religion. But the difference is Cornelius was not satisfied with his religion and he was seeking. But many religious people, those who have a religion in their heart, not the relationship with Jesus Christ, those religious people are satisfied and they are happily lost. And they have no reason to look for reason for salvation. God sent an angel to Cornelius. When he heard the message, in a true military fashion, Cornelius immediately obeyed God. And we'll find what he did in verse 9. Next day, as they went on their journey, there's the messengers from Cornelius, drew near to the city, that is Joppa. Peter went up on the housetop to pray about 6 hours. That is around noontime. You might want to write it there. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made it ready, he fell into trance and saw the heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at four corners, descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were the all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, a bird of the air. A voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." I want you to notice how the Peter answered. Peter said, "Not so, Lord." Note that. "For I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And the voice spoke to him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done in three times. The object was taken up into heaven again. While Peter wondered with himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, a man who has been sent from Cornelius had made the inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the visions, and the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the man who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius, the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by the holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them. Some brethren from Joppa accompanied him. See, God works in both ends. And to finish to get his purpose done. While God was working on the Cornelius' heart, and also he was working on the Peter's heart as well. This is what we call the confirmation. When the Lord is preparing you to do something, he will bring someone or something to you in the context of the Bible to confirm you that you are doing what God wants you to do. It's not for his sake, but for your sake, to assure you, to give you comfort in your heart. I heard a silly story. There was a Christian woman who was to go to the long-distance trip, the overseas. And it requires flying, long-distance overseas flying. She is afraid of flying. So she has been asking God, "Oh, give me a confirmation." And wouldn't you know, when she woke up in the morning, one morning, and the first thing she saw was a 7:47 a.m. on the digital alarm clock. Oh, she thought, since I'm going to fly in the 7:47, this must be confirmation. No, it's not. This is what we call superstition. Be careful what you consider as a confirmation. It must be in context. It must be done in a Bible context. God had to work on Peter's heart as well. Peter, as a Jew, lived within the wall of the law of Moses that separated Jews and Gentiles. This wall had been broken down at the foot of the cross. Go to our memory verse, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, please. "For he himself is our peace, that is Jesus Christ, who has made both and has broken down the middle wall of separation." But now, all that would change. God would declare that there is no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. The only difference is made by individuals. There are eternal condemnation and there is eternal salvation through Jesus Christ. That's made by the individual, not by God. Am I making sense? Peter saw all sorts of the kosher and non-kosher animals in the sheet, and he was told to kill and eat. You wonder why God was using the vision of food other than Peter being hungry, and you're thinking, "Oh yeah, food sounds good right now." Think about it. Why was God using the food? to give a spiritual lesson to the Peter. Because here's the two reasons. Number one, it is because in Jewish mindset, clean and unclean food was and is still a major problem. God was using this century-old regulation to teach Peter an important spiritual lesson. Let's say you are a Jewish person living in America, but you decided you're going to go back to Israel and open the restaurant in Tel Aviv. To open the restaurant, it's not just the building of a restaurant is important. Menu is important, of course. And to build a menu, you have to get approval from rabbi. If you have any items in your menu that is non-kosher, he will say no, and you cannot open the restaurant. And the health department will not let you have a license unless there's a kosher stamp from the rabbi. It's that strict. Second reason is the Jews were not clean and Gentiles unclean. In God's eyes, before God, both Jews and Gentiles unclean. This meant that Gentiles did not have to become a Jew in order to become a Christian. Am I making sense? Somehow, the first century Christians thought, well, you have to be Christian, you have to be Jew first and become a Christian. Not so. Since we are in the book of Acts, keep your finger there and go to Mark chapter 7, please. Mark chapter 7, verse 18. So he said, that is Jesus Christ, said to them, are you thus without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatever enter a man from outside cannot defile them? Because it does not enter his heart, but his stomach. God is Jesus speaking about the food, is eliminated, thus purifying all food. And he said, what comes out of man that defiles a man? For from within, out of the man, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adultery, fornication, murder, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, and an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile a man. Amen? It's not what you eat, but what you're thinking. That defiles a man. Did you notice how Peter answered the Lord in verse 14? Go back to Acts chapter 10, verse 14, please. Acts chapter 10, verse 14. It said, not so, Lord. You know, those two words, not Lord, they're contradicting. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you cannot say no to him. If he is your master, only answer we can have always is yes. In other words, if Jesus said jump, you jump. You don't even ask how high, you just jump first. And he will tell you how high. You don't negotiate. I don't negotiate with God. We cannot reason with God. We just say yes, and we do what he says. And you may say, well, I'm not so sure about that. Where do you find it in the Bible? I'm glad you think that. It says in the Bible, in the book of John, if you love me, what does it say? Obey my commandment. After the vision repeating three times, Peter is slow, but he got it. Please note he welcomed the visitors, including Roman soldiers. This is an infidel in their mind, Gentile. He welcomed them into the house of Simon the Tanner and took care of them and departed with them next day without hesitation. Now, verse 24, please. And the following day they entered the Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them. Have called together his relatives, a close friend. He's not even a Christian yet, but he's already witnessing to the people. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up and saying, stand up, myself am also a man. As he talked with him, he went in and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to one of the another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Verse 29, therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked, then, for what reason have you sent for me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour, that is 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of the God. And sent therefore to Joppa, called Simon here, and whose surname is Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. So I sent to you immediately, and you have come. You have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are all present before God to hear all things commanded by you, commanded you by God. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Cornelius thought that Peter was God's special messenger, above human level, close to angel, since angel came to him in vision. That's why he fell down at his feet and worshipped him. I love the way Peter handled the situation. He didn't say, okay, since I'm the first pope, you can kiss my hand. He didn't say that, or kiss my ring. He didn't say that. Whenever in the Bible, human or angels was worshipped, like Revelation chapter 19, verse 10, when the apostle John fell down at the feet of the angel and worshipped, and what did he do? He refused. But Jesus Christ, when he was worshipped, he received freely. That shows that Jesus was more than a mere man and more above the class of angel. If you go to Rome, you would see this St. Peter's Basilica. I'm sure you've seen this picture. It's a sitting statue of the Peter. And people would come touch his toes or even kiss his toes in reverence. I don't know what goes in their mind, but by action, they are literally worshiping this statue or the St. Peter. If the Peter could come back to this basilica that is named after him, he would stand next to him and would tell these people, do not worship me, worship Jesus Christ. Listen, no human, no angels are worthy of our worship. Amen? There are a lot of angel worship out there. Do not do that. Especially if you have a Catholic background, you would worship Virgin Mary, you would worship any saints and angels, all these things. There's nothing in the Bible said worship human or any other one, other than Jesus Christ, God. You with me? Anything other than that, anything other than worshiping God himself is idol worship. It is very important for us to understand. I'm sure you've heard this comment. All religion lead to the same God. Have you heard that? That comment couldn't be any more farther from the truth. There is only one way to get to one true God. That is through Jesus Christ. None of these angels, none of these saints, none of these people will lead them to the salvation. Cornelius is the case in point. He had a piety through empty religion he had, worshiping many different gods. He had a morality. He was a just man. He was a righteous man. He was a respected man and generous man. Yet he was not saved, and he knew it. Cornelius was longing for the one true God, and he was seeking him. Listen. Whenever there is a searching heart, God always, always responds. That's where Jeremiah 29 verse 13 shows up. And you will seek me, God speaking. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. What does it say next verse? I will be found by you, says the Lord. That is a promise of God. Don't say, I cannot find God. Only thing I can tell you is, if you cannot find God because you are not seeking Him with all your heart. Promise of God is, if you seek me with all your heart, I'll be found by you. Go back to chapter 10 of Acts, verse 34, please. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, He is the Lord of all. There it is. That word you know, which is proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from the Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with the power, who went about doing good and healing all who were possessed by the evil. For God was with him, verse 39, and we were witness of all things which God he did, both in the land of the Jews and in the land in Jerusalem, whom they killed by the hanging on a tree. Him God raised him up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name whoever believes in him will receive the remission of the sins. While Peter was still speaking this word, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because of the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentile also. For they heard them speak with the tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, Can anyone forbid water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they ask him to stay a few days. There can be no faith apart from the Word of God. Peter preached the Word of God to these people. And when it comes to sin and salvation, there's no difference in the background of the human. Everyone has the same Creator, and everyone needs the same Savior. Not different Savior or different category. As Peter summarized the story of the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we must witness to others, to the unbelievers, the life, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You can talk about your testimony, how God changed you. Don't glorify, don't exaggerate, don't elaborate how bad you were. That's not important. The main point is how God changes you and how you're living for Christ. Amen? So talk about Jesus Christ, who is the Lord of all, not just the Lord of Jews or Lord of certain Christians. As these Roman people are listening to Peter's teaching of Jesus, and these people start to receive Jesus Christ in their heart, and they're starting to getting saved. You know, this would be perfect time, for a perfect moment for the preacher. They came in already ready to receive, ready to hear from God, and they received the Word of God with gladness in their heart, and they're getting saved. How the preacher can ask for more than that? This would be the dream moment. And the Holy Spirit came upon them. I'm sure at the moment, Peter was getting Holy Spirit goosebumps. And the Spirit, Holy Spirit interrupted Peter. Now, you may remember the time and Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus took three of them. Peter, John, and James went up to the Mount of Transfiguration. And a lot of people believe they were Mount Hermon. While they were waiting, three of them fell asleep. And when they woke up because of the brightness, and they saw Jesus standing next to Moses and Elijah. They're all glowing, brighter than the noonday sun. And Peter did something stupid, like we do. Have you ever had the occasion, you don't know what to say, but you said anyway, and as soon as you said it, you're thinking, can I get those things back and put it back in my mouth? That's kind of things what's happening to Peter. He said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. Let us build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Elijah, one for Moses. Do you know what he just did? He pulled down and degraded Jesus Christ, who is God, to the human level. And upgrade Elijah, Moses, who are human, to the God's level. Equal plane. Jesus, Elijah, Moses, to the equal plane. He didn't, Bible literally said, because he didn't know what he was saying. That's when the God the Father interrupted him. More like a, be quiet, Pete. Now he has a new interruption. Holy Spirit interrupted him and stopped him. Holy Spirit was giving a clear lesson to Peter and six Jews who came with him, that these Gentiles truly saved and God gave an equal footing at the foot of the cross and the Jews and Gentiles. And some of you are wondering, okay, preacher, where did you come up with that six Jews? Did you make up? No, I did not make up, because I read the chapter 11 and there it says six Jews. One more thing. We must notice these Gentiles were not saved because of their baptism. They were baptized because they were saved. You with me? There's some group of people, denomination says that you have to be baptized to be truly saved. In some, one particular denomination says you have to be baptized in our denomination to be saved. Show me where does it say that? Nowhere in the Bible. Two applications for you guys. Number one, there are no sinners Jesus cannot save. And there's no self-righteous person who doesn't need him. Amen? Second application, don't ever think that a certain type of person is beyond God's salvation. I like the way the Corey Ten Boom, the Holocaust survivor, said, there is no pit so deep that God's love not deeper still. Remember, God's arms not too short that he cannot reach that person. Pray continuously. Pray that that person come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I was a self-righteous snob before 87. My mother-in-law started to pray for me as soon as she found out that I'm going to be her son-in-law. And I became a Christian. Who would ever knew that I would be a preacher? God has a wonderful plan for you. And you just say, what do you say? Yes, Lord. Not so, Lord, like Peter did.